Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. I am very happy to be here today, as always. I am always happy to be here and to talk to you and just share some stuff that's been in my universe. So one thing that is in my universe and the universe of everyone who lives in the United States is that today is Election Day. And so I hope you will exercise your right and privilege as a citizen and vote. I encourage you to do so. But I wanna say, no matter who wins, your experience is totally up to you. Your world is your own. As Neville said, there are as many worlds as there are people to experience them. So what happens out there can only have the effect on you that you allow it to have. And that's every day, not just, and that pertains to everything. Everything, anything that has an effect on us affects us to the extent that we believe it can have an effect on us and what that effect will be. It's your choice. Don't buy into negativity. Don't. Because it just drags you down the rabbit hole and then you gotta climb back out and it's just not worth it. You know, if you think about it, there were people who thrived during the Depression and other really rough times. Thrived because they knew who they were. God in the midst of you is mighty and sufficient unto all that you could ever need or desire. Truth, peace, security come from one place, and it's not the outside world. It's not. It's God in you, that infinite, infinite God mind that meets every demand. That's our shelter. That's our safe space. And that's where we rule our world. So I just wanted to remind you of that. And I just wanted to say real quick that, you know, last Saturday night was the big gala and the award ceremony for my brother. And it was just really, really wonderful. The whole thing was wonderful. And it was great to be with my family. And the evening was just a phenomenal event. And a lot of people that came up to me and just said how important he'd been in their careers and, you know, what a nice guy he was and just, you know, it was nice. It was really nice. But it was really cute because Scott came over. Scott, my like nephew-in-law, I guess is what I could call him, came over to pick up Grace so that she could have a slumber party at his house with him. And it was so cute. He was so excited to come and get her and he took her and I packed a little bag for her, you know, with her coat, because it's been really cold in the mornings. And I knew he was going to get her out for walks, which he did. And she'll go forever. She's like the Ever Ready Bunny. You know, that's her happy place, stick in her mouth and she's on the road. And she just loves that. But it was cute because he brought her home then Sunday afternoon and with her little bag and I put her food and stuff in it. And she comes home and there's a new toy in her bag and there's a new leash, which is one of those extension leashes. She just has a regular, whatever, 5-foot leash, whatever, however long it is, leash. So he got her a new leash. Apparently the short one wasn't sufficient, but it was just really sweet. I know that he really took good care of her and he really loved having her. And that is sweet. You know, that made me happy. It was good for everyone. Although, you know, I know she had a great time and he took her to a dog park with a friend of his and another little dog that she'd met before named Bricks. And he said they just got along like crazy, except Bricks is a puppy and Grace isn't, even though most of the time she acts like it. She got a little annoyed, I guess, with Bricks. Not that she did anything, but, you know, Bricks just wasn't going to leave her alone. She had a playmate that was pretty much her size. So anyway, she said they, you know, they had just a really, really good time and she had a good adventure. And what I was going to say is after she got home, she still kind of gave me an attitude, you know, because I guess left her alone to have a really good time overnight. So she was going to make me pay for it. It was funny. She's just such a, She's just her own girl. You know, she is just her own girl, and she's a piece of work, but that was really sweet and fun and made the night fun because I didn't have to give a thought that she was, you know, that she was in good hands. But anyway, I just wanted to share that and say thanks again for being here today. If you can, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat, where you can ask questions or leave comments, and I will answer them or address them after the show. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request, and I'm notified immediately, and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And again, just a reminder about the Autumn Abundance 15-minute time-based session that will be available through Autumn. And Autumn is rapidly turning into winter here. Boy, we've had freezes and all kinds of stuff. It's been very cold. We had even a little bit of snow yesterday, nothing that stuck, but it snowed in the morning. So I think we're looking at a couple days ago, my phone, you know, which knows everything, my iPhone, which knows the weather, said we were supposed to have snow like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all 3 days. And then today it's just Wednesday. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But it's definitely, we're out of the 80 degree weather, you know, and well, maybe 70. We can have 70 degree days during the winter, but we're out of the warm weather. And all my beautiful zinnias that I posted in that Jay posted for me in the chat room a couple weeks ago are toast. So it's time to clean the yard out, and I'm just waiting for all the trees. There are trees all around me, and it makes no sense to do it before at least it appears the majority of those leaves have fallen, because there are going to be leaves over winter if I do. So, and Scott's going to do that for me, but it's amazing how many leaves fall down. You just, it's incredible. There's layers of them out there already. But it's a good project. It's a good 1 or 2 day project to get them all up and disposed of. But anyway, the fall is rapidly, autumn is rapidly turning into winter around here. But my Autumn Abundance session, which is just about, this is still the time of year where we can experience that harvest energy, you know, and receive and practice receiving and practice knowing really who we are and what we are entitled to, which is everything good. And the purpose of the session is to clear away whatever's in the way, whatever, you know, baggage that we carry with us, doubts, beliefs, just things that impede our ability to demonstrate what we are, who we are. The kingdom of heaven is within us. It's up to us to just get out of the way. And we do that through working on our concept of ourselves, you know, how we feel about ourselves, what we feel that we deserve, how we value ourselves or don't value ourselves. So the purpose of the session is to just get those blocks out of the way, because they're error. There is not one negative thing that could be called correct, or that could be, or that would have any power at all. There's one power. That power is good. Anything that is not good is error, and therefore we can move it because we have power over it. So we also have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And as always, I want to remind you of the gratitude board. We're in November now, Thanksgiving time here in the States. So gratitude is something that's maybe more on our minds than other times of the year. So use the gratitude board. Go to 12listen.com, post anonymously if you want to, what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not. And the advisors of 12listen will add our intentions to yours and empower them. Agreement is powerful. So why not? Why not do it? We're here to support you on that gratitude board. And also through the archives on 12listen.com. on 12radio.com, I should say. There are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio, and you can grab a show anytime you want. So that is another way for us to support you. And speaking of 12radio, next Tuesday, Mark Husson will be hosting Everyday Astrology for CA again. And Peggy will be his guest the first half of the show, and I'll be his guest the second half. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And then CA will be my guest the following week for our November Meeting of the Minds. But my show next week, Jay will be my guest. So we're going to shake it up a little bit and have a fun Tuesday. So I hope you'll join us. And right now, I just want to say thanks to Jay for producing my show and for just all that he does for us on 12radio. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song by Posh Poshka called Two Sides of One Kind. And that name just jumped out at me because of what I want to talk about in the teaching segment. So that was just a little kiss on the cheek from God. Plus, I just love this piece of music. It's from the World Groove Mix Volume 1 CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm happy you are here today.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I love that music. I'm pretty sure Pash Pashka is an Eastern European guy, a fellow Eastern European person. I just love it. It's just lively, isn't it? That's a nice uplift for the morning. So the teaching segment today, excuse me, is sort of segmented. I have three things that I want to talk about, like three specific things, but I do think that they all go together. And, you know, my purpose and the purpose of this show is empowerment. So positive things, positive experiences, and just proof that, the first one, the proof is it's just that I'm always provided for. And I know that, but when things happen that really, that beyond a doubt show me that, it's just a kiss on the cheek from God, you know? So, and especially when they show up in kind of a surprising way or kind of a convoluted way, that's when it's like, oh, wait a minute, you know, wait a minute, I'm being taken care of, I'm being supported. So the first one that I want to talk about is about Olive, my car, my Jeep that was my mom's. A few weeks ago, my doorbell rang and there was a young woman and a man standing outside. And she said, we want to talk to you about your hail damage. And I said, I have a new roof. There's no hail damage. And they said, not your roof, your Jeep. And, you know, I had I had no idea. We had a massive hailstorm at the end of May. It was on the last day of May, I think. And it was incredible. Grace and I had gone to bed and I'd read for a little while and I sleep with earplugs in, those silicone ones that are just great because it's like they kind of create a cocoon for me, like a sleeping cocoon. I can't quite explain it. I used to wear them because Channon's oxygen machine was in the closet that was on my side of the bed. So there was always noise. And even though that was white noise, I don't know, there's just something really, you know, it just creates a space, I guess, a good sleep space for me when I wear my earplugs. And so I had my earplugs in and I had just turned the light off and laid back in bed. And it sounded like somebody was throwing boulders at my window. It was so loud. It was frightening. It was just the most incredible sound. So I bolted out of bed and went and looked out the back windows and there were huge hailstones in my backyard. Thankfully, it didn't last long. It didn't do any damage to the house at all. So in the morning, I went out and actually there were a few of the flowers that got pelted, but the flowers are under trees, like the trees that I got to clean up after. But during the summer, it's great because the flowers are pretty much hidden under the trees, the flower beds or under the overhang of the house. So really not much suffered. And I looked at Olive, my Jeep, and I really didn't see anything. Well, you know, after the fact, I would, you know, if the light caught it just right, there would be, I saw there was a dent in the driver's side door, a small one. And then I think I saw another one someplace else, but not like my neighbors had both of their cars repaired. And my other neighbor had two out of their three cars repaired for hail damage. So I thought, you know, it also in my driveway, but there's a canopy. There's like a canopy of trees, a natural carport that she was sitting under. So she was protected by that. So when they said hail damage to the car, I said I didn't have any because really, that's all I saw, a couple of dents, you know, but not a big deal. So I kind of said, thanks, but no thanks. And my phone started ringing because I was working and I had to cut the conversation short. Well, the guy, Patrick, circled back around the following week and basically said that there were dents on the hood, on the roof, and pointed out a few more on the body. And he said, really and truly, it would cost me nothing to have those dents fixed. And what they do is they pop them back out. So it's an interesting process. And anyway, so I said, okay, you know, and I had talked to Scott about it. And he goes, well, if they're going to fix the car and bring it back to, you know, the way she was when you got her, why not? If it doesn't cost you anything, because I'm debating and because I have to debate, you know, in my head. So anyway, I said, okay, and filed a claim with my insurance. And I was all set up to meet them at Enterprise Car Rental yesterday. So I could have a rental car, which my insurance pays for. I don't have to pay for that either, while they have Olive. And so that was Monday. Well, Sunday, the insurance adjuster texted me, and it's called United Hail Damage. They wanted him to come to their shop because they have lights that they look at the car under, and they can see all of the damage better than you can see out in the sunlight or, you know, just with your naked eye outside. So that was the plan. And they had talked to Allstate about that. And he was, you know, he wanted to go come see the car yesterday. But he started asking me questions. And this is all through text, which I forwarded to the repair place because he got me kind of scared. He asked me questions I didn't know the answer to. And of course, it's Sunday, so I couldn't get a hold of the repair people. And so he wanted to meet at my house, see the car at my house before they took it, because he thought they would total the car and I would end up paying a lot of money for, you know, for whatever repairs they did, because there's so much. I don't understand it completely, but just my, in a nutshell, take on it is the car was 10 years old. And so, you know, there was going to be a real a heavy duty limit to what insurance would pay. Well, it turns out after I talked to Patrick yesterday morning, and I'd sent all of the texts because he's just giving me numbers and you know, sending me information via text about how much this could cost if it was totaled. And I knew in the back of my head it's not totaled, number one. And it just was really disconcerting because the whole reason I'm doing this is because I'm not having to pay for something that I really don't have a problem living with, you know, because it's not bad and I can't see it. I'm not up on my roof, but anyway, like I said, he knew the car was 10 years old, but after he talked to Patrick and Patrick talked to me, he said he had no idea what shape that car is in. And, you know, she's lived in a garage for 10 years until she came to my house, and my mom didn't drive her very often, took excellent care of her. And at this point, she only has 20,000 miles on her. So he had no idea about all of that, which increased her value, which would have increased, you know, what they would have paid out for repairs. So, you know, long story short, they talked to each other and they got everything cleared up because I let Patrick know, and I also texted the shop and I said that you have to talk to this guy before I show up at Enterprise. I have to know that you've talked to him, that all this stuff is taken care of, or I'm not going and we're not doing this. So he did call me back and he said the guy just didn't have enough information. So anyway, they got back to me and let me know that. And they also let him know that they don't replace roofs and hoods. They repair them. You know, they pop the dents out of them and they repair the damage that way. So that was taken care of. So at 10:30, I meet another really sweet kid from their shop at Enterprise. And he said, okay, he said, well, I'm going to go inspect the car. He took a video, and I got there before he did. So I was just basically waiting for them to have a car ready for me and for him to do whatever he needed to do. And they were really busy yesterday. I mean, really busy. I got there at 10:30, and I don't think I got home until after 11:30, and it's only, 7 minutes from my house. So anyway, he went out and he took the video, and he comes back in and he said she was the cleanest. He goes, that's the cleanest car I've ever seen. And I couldn't believe that it's 10 years old. And if I ever wanted to get rid of her, let him know. And it was just really cute. And I said, well, that's probably not going to happen. I think I'm gonna keep her forever. But the coolest thing about it is he did his stuff, and then he stayed with me until I had a car and could go out and get in it and drive it home. And I thought that was really pretty cool. I thought that was really just excellent service, from the shop. And really, aside, Patrick's been delightful to deal with, and everyone that I've talked to there has just been really, they're very customer oriented. And this Caleb was the kid that came yesterday, and he's just another example of that. And the reason that I wanted to tell that story is because it hit me yesterday after I calmed down. Because, of course, when I went to bed Sunday night after the stuff with the text from the adjuster, I just gave it away. It's like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what's right. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know if I should do this or should not do this. I don't know, God, but you do. So I just relinquished all power, control, and responsibility for it. And I went to sleep, and I slept really well. And then yesterday morning, talked to Patrick, and it was all ironed out. And what really hit me after he called me and said, no, we're good, we're on the same page. And so I said, okay, I'll meet whoever at 10:30. And when I was finished with that conversation, it just hit me that I got freaked out because the guy scared me, because he's got these big numbers that you may be liable for this, and he didn't have the right information, but I didn't know that. And so I'm thinking, well, this is a scam. I don't think they're on the up and up, and all the things, that go in through your head or through my head. And really and truly, each and every one of them were, I think, well, I feel just intuitively now when I got the chance to look at it, were trying to take care of me. They were just trying to take care of me. And that I'm just always supported by spirit. And I know that Patrick, the rep from the shop, is a salesman, but he negotiated with the owner to cover my deductible, which was higher than the one that they normally would cover. And I'll pay nothing to get Olive back in perfect shape. So, and I don't think, I think the adjuster was trying to take care of me. I don't think it was about having to pay out a claim, but it was about me having to pay a lot of money if they had to do major repairs on a 10-year-old car. Again, before he knew just how great Olive was and in what good shape she's in. And then Caleb, the guy that waited with me yesterday, I mean, it was quite a while. They were busy. And I'm sure he had other things to do and he needed to get the car back up there. But he just waited until I got my rental and we had the nicest conversation. So, I got a text, as a matter of fact, just a few minutes before the show started, saying that all the repairs have been approved. And it looks like they said after that happens, it's maybe 8 to 10 days. So I think she'll be home really soon and just back to perfect, like I got her. So, again, the bottom line is I am always provided for, always. And I know that. And I've known that for years. And I know that I can count on that. It's just things throw you off every now and then. They kind of come out of left field. But the truth is, I'm always provided for. Always. Always. So, anyway, that goes back to, you know, the self-concept thing, what we accept and consent to as ourselves. And that's a good one. You know, I'm always provided for. That's a good one to adopt. So here's my second thing that I wanted to talk about. And this is actually the PowerPeak article that was in this week's PowerPeak, my article, my empowerment article. And it was interesting because, I'm ahead of myself, but I was doing something. I can't remember what. I don't know if I was studying or listening to, you know, and a book or something or a teacher. I don't know. But the words lot in life, you know, my lot in life came into my head. And I thought, well, that's bizarre. So I started thinking about it. And it just kind of developed into this article. And I really liked it. So I want to share it with you just in case, you know, I'm sure there are people listening that maybe don't get the PowerPeak. And if you do, and if it's a repeat, sorry. But I was kind of tapped on the shoulder that this is important. So I want to talk about it. You know, really, usually when somebody says, I guess this is my lot in life, it's not positive, right? I mean, it's here it happens again. It happened again. I thought I was good. And then the rug got pulled out from under my feet or, you know, whatever that is. And this has everything to do with self-concept, what we accept and consent to as ourselves, what we believe about ourselves. It's not a positive thing, but it's more like, you know, not a lot of not great things have happened to me that thwarted my dreams. So this just must be my lot in life. I'm like destined to not succeed or destined to have failed relationships or destined to whatever disappointing thing it is. I have no recollection of ever hearing someone say, I am so happy, this must be my lot in life. Never, right? It's always a negative. It's always a negative, like it's a punishment. I think this came into my head because I've been reading, writing, and talking about how critical self-concept is to our success and happiness in every area of life. To our peace, really. You know, if we believe that previous circumstances determine who we are giving our power in the present moment away to the past. And we did a great exercise last week, or a great tool that I taught in the You Empowered class last week. And it's a tool called present time. In other words, present time is a tool that we can use. And the way to use it is whatever it is that has us, like something that happened in the past, a negative memory or something that we have guilt over or regret or whatever. And you can do anything. I mean, right now I'm talking about previous circumstances. So if you imagine whatever that thing is that dogs you, that tells you that you can't get beyond it, that again, that you feel guilty or regret about or shame or whatever, if you bring that in front of your face in a quiet moment and with your eyes closed, and you just bring it right in front of you and you look at it and you feel the feeling that it brings up in you, the kick in the gut or whatever it is, then you imagine it enclosed in a beautiful clear bubble and you put today's date on it. Today is present. This is present time. This is the present moment. And when you bring something from the past into present time, it can't be here. We bring a lot of the past into our present moment, but it's not in present time. It's dead, gone, and over. So when you bring it into that bubble, dated today's date, and just watch what happens to it, it might just disintegrate. But the thing is that when you know that thing has no life to it, because it is not in present time, and you have that, quote unquote, you can have that, you're free. You are free. And it's a powerful, powerful tool. And you can use it for more, you can use it in different ways too. But I think that is, to me, that's my favorite, because it's like, whoa, I've been paying for this in, you know, I've been suffering for this for all these years. And it was a ghost. It was a phantom. It's gone. And you, the you that you were then, and anyone else involved, is also dead, gone, and over. You know, you're not the same person that you were when you started listening to this show. So it's just a really cool tool. And that's probably why this came into my head too, because that was what our class was about. As I said, the past doesn't exist, and neither does the person that endured the circumstances of the past. But by holding on to them, we confine ourselves to the prison of past conditioning. And that's a Deepak Chopra sentence, or the prison of past conditioning. I heard that from Deepak Chopra. And that is a fabulous way to think about it, right? I mean, when you, whatever it was in the past that happened, it happened to the you that you were then, you know, where you were in your evolution then. You're not there now. You're not there now. And I don't care if it was yesterday. You are not there now. You're a different person. You're in present time. And this is the only thing that exists. We live in the ever-present now. We are not who we were when we woke up this morning, as I said, let alone who we were in the past. We are the individualization of Source, one with the infinite God mind that meets every demand that could possibly show up in our experience. No circumstance, no matter how bad it is greater than we are. But to change it, we have to change what we believe about ourselves, what we accept and consent to as ourselves. Therefore, we have to shift our reference from the past, who we were, to who we are now in this moment. And this moment is filled with all possibilities. Every, you know, the ever-present now is an ever-present new beginning. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And when we, you know, it's like, as Ram Dass said, the more we hold on and pay for guilt or shame or remorse or regret, the more we spend time in that, the further and further we push God away from us. And as Joel said, God is not in the past. I suggest you don't spend much time there either, which is, I love that. So it's a choice. It's a choice. The prison of past conditioning, though, think about this way, is comfortable. It's comfortable, right? It's what we know. And even when we're kicking ourselves to no end for something, we're still in our comfort zone, so to speak, because it's what we know. It's the known. And so choosing to believe differently takes courage. Takes courage and perseverance. But if we want anything better than what we currently have, it's the only choice. It really is. And when we make it, we have all the power of the infinite self behind us, because we are in alignment with the truth of our being. We're there, and we are opening the door, right? Everything exists within us. Every single thing, that which we seek, we are. And what we're learning is to trust in that infinite self and get out of the way and let it do what it has to do to bring all that good, the good that we want, the better that we want, out from within our infinite self. So, and like I said, it takes courage, and it is a choice. And last week I read this quote from Thomas Troward, and I'm going to read it again because it's perfect right here, right now. The willpower, and he spells it W-I-L-L-power, when transferred from the region of the lower mentality to the spiritual plane, becomes simply a calm and peaceful determination to retain a certain mental attitude in spite of all temptations to the contrary, knowing that by doing so, the desired result will certainly appear. Well, then I'm listening to Reverend Ike yesterday, which made my head explode in a good way. And he said, you give the power that is in you, that God that is in you, your will. When you say, I will do it. And that falls right in with the other quote I love from Reverend Ike that I say all the time. The power of a made-up mind is the power of God. When we decide, I've had it. I've had it with being small, with being afraid, with being, you know, broke, with whatever it is. I've had it. I don't have to be that because I am not. The truth of me is I am not that. I am that I am. And all that God is, I am. All that God has is mine. I and the Father are one. All that the Father has is mine. The place whereon I stand is holy ground. So it's that. It's making a choice and getting behind it. And as I said, when you make that choice, there is a momentum that I want to say pushes you. It does, I guess, but flows through you that enables you. And that's part of, I don't know how to do this, so I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility to that which lives me, which is the infinite God mind. So this is all working together, isn't it? The teaching segment. So now I want to go to part three, which is the wisdom of I don't know. I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago about the value of detachment or surrender and how the words I don't know are a perfect surrender. I mean, that's really what they are. I don't know. And how, you know, just weight falls off my back when I say them. And I mean that sincerely. I mean, they were, well, I've said it a million times. I mean, over the past few years, last year, they saved me. They saved because I didn't know. I don't know how to live this life. I still say that every single day. I don't know how to take care of my clients. I don't know what I need to do. I don't know. So I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for it to that which does, that which lives me, the governing, maintaining, and sustaining principle of my life. And that opens the door for things to happen. So anyway, I was talking to her about that, and she said, yes, but after you say, I don't know, you find you really do know. Well, I kind of understood what she was saying, but not really. So if you're facing a problem or you have a decision that you have to make and the answer is not apparent, it's because the human mind doesn't know. And when you say, I don't know, what you're doing is you're getting the human mind out of the way. That's what we're doing. We're allowing a greater expression of ourselves to come to the forefront. You know, ego is reluctant to admit it doesn't know. And so it gets caught up in struggle, trying to figure something out or bluffing its way through. But the infinite God mind, our infinite self, does know. And by saying, I don't know, we get the struggling human mind out of the way, so that we're available to the God mind for the solution to a problem, for clear direction in making a decision, or whatever it is that we need. We're opening the door for help. I've talked to people that have a real issue with saying, I don't know. More than one of them has said to me, I can't say I don't know because I have to know. It's in their case, it's like, it's my job to know. I manage people. They think saying I don't know is an admission of weakness, but far from it. And actually, the complete opposite of it. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. Now, if you're a manager and somebody comes to you and asks you a question that a manager should know, of course you're not going to say, I don't know. You're going to say, let me find out. You know, if I'm not sure about this, let me find out, or I'll put you in touch with someone who does, or whatever. This is a different thing. This is a different thing. Because this, I don't know, is detachment from struggle. And a good example of this is when you're trying to remember something, a person's name or something, and it drives you absolutely crazy. And you finally just give up, you know? As soon as you give up, you detach. And as soon as you detach, the answer shows up. And we all experience that, I think, all the time. As soon as you surrender by saying, I don't know, support comes. And the first way it shows up is the relief, in the relief that you feel as that burden of struggle falls away. Then it shows up as answers, solutions, you know, just beautiful little, here's this, and then here's this, and have you thought about this? You know, in that kind of way. Solutions to problems, and it shows up as healing. So, you know, we can struggle our way through stuff, but when we're struggling, we are basically our own stumbling blocks. I mean, that's the truth of it. If we let go and trust, then it's like, oh, here you are. You know, you got out of the way. I was trying to tell you this for a long time. You know, I was trying to show you this, but you were in the way with what you thought it should be or how you thought it should look. You know, we have to remember, or it's good to remember, I should say, that there are two parts to us. The man of earth, which is ego, personality, the restricted human mind, and the man who has his being in Christ. Christ just being the infinite self, the eternal God mind that meets every demand. Really and truly, there's only one mind, one consciousness, and we all share it. And that's divine consciousness, the God mind. What we call the human mind or the man of earth is really a sense of separation from God. You know, it believes in lack, fear, limitation, restriction, sin, sickness, death, victimhood, martyrdom, also known as the hit parade of smallness. I like that. Joel Goldsmith said, Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The man of earth is in the tribulation of the world, in limitation, isolated, and looking only to himself for everything, having to figure it out, having to struggle, not knowing the truth of his being, which is God, you know, the answer to everything. To everything. I am beholding God in me as my answer in every moment. That's another terrific thing to tuck in your consciousness, because that's it. You know, that's it. But again, we have to get our we know everything out of the way in order to be available to that. The words I don't know open the door to wisdom and unconditional love. They are words of surrender and humility, and source responds. We're constantly, continuously provided for. We are the temple of the living God. The kingdom of God is within us. It is the infinite God mind, the secret place of the Most High, in whom we live, move, and have our being, and who lives, moves, and has its being through and as us. What we seek, we are. And surrender brings it forward. Knowing you don't know is wisdom. I, as a person, don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to live this life. I don't know how to do what I'm called to do this day. But that which lives me does. And so, again, relinquishing all power, control, and responsibility for everything to, capital letters, everything, the infant God self, is the easiest and most efficient way to get through everything I have to do. It truly is. Spiritually speaking, saying I don't know is not avoiding. It's getting out of the way for perfection. I was listening to Reverend Ike yesterday, as I said, and he said some really cool things, and I just want to leave you with it. And I know we're in the last minute, but I have to share this because this is the powerful punchline or punctuation mark for this whole series or teaching segment. Okay. So I was listening to Reverend Ike yesterday, and he said, everyone relates to and serves their own concept of God. And it's good to examine that concept, to ask yourself, where did I get my concept of God? Concepts are not truth. They're concepts, and they're not God, but man trying to figure out what God is, man trying to relate to God. And, you know, what God is, how God is, and man does that by giving God human attributes, because that's all man knows. God is love, etc., or God is the old man in the sky with the big stick, just waiting for us to do something wrong. It depends on a lot on how we were raised, and in organized religion, we were brought up with a God that is outside of us. We were taught a God that is outside of us. God is us. God is that which lives us. God is life, capital L-I-F-E, consciousness, infinite being. God is, and I am, and each of us is that I am. Reverend Ike said, when God sent Moses to Egypt, he told him, I have made you God unto Pharaoh. And then Moses went and freed the Israelites. And the verse, the exact verse, is Exodus 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. Listen to those words, though. I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. That is a powerful statement. Reverend Ike went on to say, you can take that statement and run with it. You have created your world through your beliefs. Through your beliefs. Our world is only showing us. But the God in you makes you God to everything that afflicts you in any way. I have made you God to circumstances, God to your body, God to... And so you have, that's just a powerful way of looking at the authority that we have, the power that we have over this material existence. This is a dream. This is a dream. Therefore, we can affect it in any way we want. And we are affecting it in every way by our beliefs. So we change that and we grab onto that power that we truly are. We can move mountains. We can move mountains. And we can make just a fabulous and wonderful, prosperous, abundant, joyful, loving life. And that's all. And on that note, I'm a few minutes late for hanging up, but thank you for being with me today. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Please join me next week on CA's show and with Jay on my show. I don't know. You can tell I'm excited because I forgot what I say at the end of the show. You've been listening to Empowerment, where I went to radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, followed by Christina LaFrance. Bye, everyone. Talk to you next week if I can talk. Obviously, I'm fumbling now. Bye.